Welcome to Movie Dudes, episode 71. I am Jeff, as always, joined by Chris.
Hey.
Once again this week, we did a little preparation. We actually saw a couple movies of the same movies. The first one we're going to talk about, actually, Chris mentioned at the end of the last episode. I was like, I should go see that. And then that seed planted in my brain. And I think I went to go see it before you.
Yeah, well, I think we were at the theater at the same time.
Yeah. So this is the brand new Disney animated film, Zootopia. Chris, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, Zootopia. I believe it's from Disney Animation Studios, which is...
Yeah.
They are, you know, the classic Disney studio. They're the ones that brought us recently, I guess, Frozen, Tangled, Wreck-It Ralph, Big Hero 6, all pretty big movies.
Yeah.
And Zootopia is the next in that line. It is it's something different, though. It's anthropomorphics. There's there's animals that talk. That's not really out of the ordinary for a Disney film. But it takes place in this kind of modern era city. State, I guess, where animals all live in harmony, kind of. And it follows this little bunny from I think it starts off with this really funny kind of play that she's doing. Her name's Judy Hopps, voiced by Jennifer Goodwin. She wants to be a cop, and bunnies aren't cops; they're farmers. And everyone tells her, you can't be a cop, you can't be a cop. And she goes to the police academy, and you can't be a cop, you're not going to be a cop. And she just works really hard, and she becomes a cop. She goes to Zootopia, where she's kind of, it's where I guess she's ordered to go. Like, she's been placed in District 1 or whatever. And she kind of is, like, relegated to the side. She's, like, the... I think they specifically use the term token bunny.
Yeah, and they make her a meter maid.
Yeah, she becomes a meter maid, and she, like, sets out. She's like, I guess her boss, he's like, well, you won't have any problem writing 100 tickets or whatever. She goes out, and she does, like, 200. She ends up kind of getting scammed by this fox, Nick. He's running a scam where he goes and gets a big, gigantic elephant popsicle and melts it down and goes to sell it to, like, little rodents. It's, like, very, very smart, very funny. It's just kind of... They get embroiled in this case where her boss is trying to get rid of her, and there's all these missing animals, and she kind of gets caught up in tracking them down, and she does a good job with it and ends up being a pretty good cop there. And her buddy there, the fox, he ends up not being quite the dirtbag that he set out to be at the beginning. And it's funny because they explicitly call out, like, race relations and stuff, and yeah, stuff that you wouldn't normally get in what you would expect from, like, a Disney movie or a kid's movie with, you know, talking animals. There's some pretty heady shit going on
here. Yeah.
But it's all done really well, and it's fun. Like, it never like, beats you over the head like Happy Feet. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Happy Feet, like, has, like, a 20-minute ending where it tells you about how we're destroying the Earth and... we're killing all the penguins. Like,
that's a DreamWorks one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a DreamWorks one. Like, this definitely has more nuance to it. It feels like a Pixar movie in a lot of ways with that, where it, like, has a message and a mature message at that, but it doesn't... never stops being fun, too. Like, they just set out and made an actually a good movie with a good story that also had a message behind it. I thought all the casting was fantastic, and voice acting is great. Animation looks fantastic.
Yeah, it's I forgot the hell I was gonna say about it now, but yeah, it's I really liked it. My first reaction coming out of it too is, my girlfriend was like, how did you like it or whatever. I was like, I did not expect a Disney movie to be about race relations.
Right?
That was what it was about. It's like, well, it's like kind of like it's about institutional racism and also a little bit of gender politics. The whole fact that like, oh, she's just a cute little bunny. She can't be a
Right.
real cop and stuff like that. But like you said, it's also very, very fun and entertaining. It's a good cop movie. It's kind of like a Chinatown type thing where she starts off as like this meter maid, but then slowly she gets put on a missing persons case, and then that kind of allows her and her friend, the Fox, to kind of stumble upon like this bigger conspiracy. So like that stuff all works really great, and there's some just like really funny stuff. Like there's a great for us Breaking Bad fans, there's a nice little nod to
Yeah,
Breaking Bad in it.
they didn't specifically call them.
What?
It's really funny because like it's in this, it's like a train car, like an abandoned train car, and there's all these they're growing this thing in there, and it's all blue crystals.
Yeah, well, like, at first I didn't know if they were just going for that or if it's just me going, like, me and my Breaking
Oh,
Bad head
well,
going,
no, and
oh.
then they
But then
specifically
things,
call out
yeah.
Jesse and Walter.
Yeah, the one guy who's, like, cooking the blue stuff, he's like, well, I'm gonna get going because Walter and Jesse are on their way back. Just nice little reference
Yeah.
for people who are fans of that show.
Yeah, there's a lot of like
The
mature
Godfather
stuff in there.
scene?
Yeah, oh, it's so
Great
good.
looking great Godfather scene in it. It's just a really fun, and again, like with so many of these animated movies, I almost feel like they're like animated films for adults that kids can enjoy. That's how I look at these animated movies now. Because, like, honestly, I do think parts of the plot here will kind of be lost on kids. I don't know. I'd have to see what you think. But I think that, like, really understanding the conspiracy and why the bad guy, who is revealed much later, near the end, why the bad guy is trying to do what they're trying to do. I don't know that like an 8-year-old kid would really get, but maybe I'm not giving kids enough credit. I mean, do you think that the plot is a little complex for kids?
I mean, it's a little complex. I left there. I didn't really talk with my 8-year-old about it, but they were talking in the car. Like it seemed like they kind of, they probably didn't get the nuance of it, but like why Bellwether was doing what she was doing, but.
I'm not even saying to get like the political kind of undertones of it, just the basic like face value of why the bad guy was doing what they were doing. I don't, do you think they had a grasp on that?
I think they've probably seen enough movies where it's like, hey, the bad person wants to be in charge. Like, I think that's what they
Yeah.
got out of it. Like,
Yeah,
at
okay.
least enough of that. Like, not like the more nuanced politics of it and kind of the race and gender relations that are going on and.
Which is crazy because that's a huge chunk of it, but I do think kids probably could enjoy it because it is funny, it's fast moving.
Yeah, it has great pace to it.
But like, yeah, so much of it, I was like, this is gonna go just like I'm imagining a kid going back like 10 years from now to watch it again and go, oh my God, the bunny jokes, I get it now. Like they make the same joke about rabbits having sex all the time like three
Oh,
times,
yeah.
and it's a funny joke and they do it 3 times, but I'm like, I don't think little kids are gonna catch
No,
any of that the
they're not gonna
first
get that.
time.
Like just like bunnies, there's lots of bunnies.
I do think that they gave away like one of the funniest scenes in the trailer, which is when they go to the DMV and the
Oh,
DMV is all run by
the sloth
sloths.
piece
Yeah.
is fantastic, yeah.
It's so great. And the funniest thing about it is I've been to the DMV twice this week because I'm trying to get my license renewed. And every time I walk in there, it's been like standing room only. And I just, like the first time I picked a number and I put the number right back and turned around and left. I'm like, no, I'm not dealing with this. Totally true.
Because they are all sloths.
Yeah, and I even made a joke the second time I went. I'm in my uniform from work. I go, this place is worse than the fucking post office. And people started laughing. But anyways, getting back to the movie, I think that that is one of the best scenes. I think the movie does know it's one of the funniest things because they do kind of end with the sloths again. But yeah, all around, I thought this was like honestly, and I know. this isn't saying much, but it is probably the best movie that's come out this year that I've seen.
Yeah, I mean it's been a little weak in terms of what's been out there so far this year, but yeah, I would agree with that.
I don't even know if I'd say that. I mean, I thought Deadpool was really good. I think, well, like, we've had a few
Yeah,
significant.
outside of Deadpool though, I think it's a little light, but
Well, for so I like The Witch more than you.
right.
But regardless, it's a really good animated movie.
I
I
think
don't think
yeah, it's
it.
just a really good movie, like.
It's a, like I said, it works as a good, like, cop movie, even though it's, for kids or whatever. But I don't think it's like, I love it quite as much as Inside Out. I don't think it has quite as much the emotional punch, but that's fine because it's not totally going for that. It's just trying to be a fun little, like, kind of detective movie. But it had so much more going on in terms of what it was trying to say.
Right.
I do think if you follow the analogy though too far, it becomes problematic because. The movie's talking about oppressed minorities, kind of, but there's problems with like that because oppressed minorities are not other species when we come to humans,
Well, yes. I mean,
and they're not savages, so like that,
yes.
it's a little bit tricky there. But like, I think the overall message that it's trying to say is, don't let society tell you what you're gonna be.
Yeah, I think if you dig down like and you want to lay connotation like that on it, you're probably digging too deep. Like I think what they set out to do was make a movie about like this on the surface level, and it just so happens that how they did that was using animals, and they're not gonna go like we're all different species. Like I think in this it was like Zootopia is everyone's an animal here, and
Well, yeah,
like
but I
we're all
do think
people, yeah.
there's gonna be college professors who
Oh
try to
yeah.
pick this apart and say that it's a racist
Oh
film.
yeah. Brian Howard and Rich Moore are racist, and
Yeah,
like.
but I mean, if we're taking everything not that seriously, like it does have a positive message. It's anti-racist, and I really enjoyed that stuff. I went in pretty blind on this. Like, I know you had said it got pretty good reviews, and I liked the trailer, so that's all I really knew about it. I wasn't expecting any of that, and I was like, wow, I like really appreciated that all that stuff was in there, because it gave me something to think about as an adult while I'm enjoying what was like. It's really fun and funny throughout. Like, you got all those nice references. It's got a fun pace. The dynamic between the two lead characters is fun. Like, I like the fox guy. Yeah, I don't know. I liked it all around. I kind of wrestle with my score on it because it is. I don't know how you do it much better than what they did, like, for what they were going for. So, I don't know. What?
Well, I'm going 5 stars here.
Are
I
you?
think it was really, really well done. It goes for different things than like something like Inside Out does, and I think it does it
Yeah.
well. And I mean, I love all the references it has in it, and like the underlying message definitely being something positive that we can all look at, and it was fun. It's a good movie, like at its core, like just a good story.
It's a fun movie that I could see myself rewatching again, like possibly even buying and like telling my friends to watch it.
Yeah.
Just a tough sell for like your friends.
Hey,
Like, yo,
go
you
watch
gotta
this
see this.
cartoon, yeah. But I am yeah, I really liked it. I am looking forward to see if they go like I mean Disney obviously has a history of sequelizing things. I think there's a lot of things you could do just in that world. Like they do a great job of building that world. But only really exploring it through like Judy and Nick. So there's other things you could do there without actually having them be the focus of it.
Yeah, I think that they could. Also, Chris, I don't know if I'm recording on my end, so just so you know,
Okay.
I don't know if it matters, but
Well, I'm showing as being
okay.
recording, so
Okay.
hopefully nothing's going bad.
Yeah, well, hopefully we hope. I struggle with it because, like you said, it's going for something different than Inside Out. It's mostly just a fun movie that is kind of injecting like a kind of a little bit of a bigger message to it. And I think that they did a fantastic job with it. Like, for what it's aiming for, I don't know how they could have done much better. I don't know. Yes, I think we're gonna get sequels to this. I don't know how you really stop this. I don't
Right,
know.
right. It's
I don't know if I personally need sequels to it, but it was
no, no.
it's a damn fun
I
movie,
mean,
and
it's gonna happen, but
it's gonna yeah, it's there's gonna be sequels, but the first one, I think this is gonna be a special movie. I think it could become a classic, and like I said, I don't think they could have done a much better job than what they did. So I'm gonna go with you. I'm gonna go 5 stars. I was on the fence all week since seeing it, but I don't. Now that I've committed, I don't really feel bad about it. It's a really solid movie.
yeah, it's a ton of fun.
I saw another movie this week, Chris.
Okay.
It's called Love and Mercy.
All right, what is Love and Mercy?
It is the Brian Wilson story, the lead singer of the Beach
Beach
Boys,
Boys.
the mastermind behind the Beach Boys.
Guy who lays in bed all day.
Yeah, it wasn't. How did you know that?
There's a Bare Naked Ladies song that
Oh,
mentions
okay.
that he lies in bed all day.
They don't show that in the film, but there is a part where they like talk about like he basically laid in bed for like a decade or some shit. I knew a little bit about him going in. I knew that he did have some kind of mental health issues. I knew that he was a genius just by listening to some of the Beach Boys music and knowing like it's kind of like the Beatles back in the day, like the groundbreaking work they did on Saint Sgt. Pepper's. Well, the same could be said for the Beach Boys and Pet Sounds. Like if you ever listen to Good Vibrations, like all the crazy layers and layers of shit going on in that, and to think that he did that at a time when you couldn't do that digitally, like he had to do it in this, he had to do that magic in the studio with real musicians and instruments.
Right.
So that's kind of what I knew going in, and the movie kind of tells that story, and it tells another story. It flashes back between two period or between two periods in time. One is the 60s during the time right before Pet Sounds, and it kind of follows him through making Pet Sounds. And then it also flashes forward to the 80s where he's even more like more suffering mental illness than he was in the 60s. And, he's got pretty bad schizophrenia. And he has a doctor who is over-medicating him. And he has a bunch of people, like handlers, who are just kind of mismanaging him and sending him down a pretty dark path. And so it goes between these two time periods. And two different actors play him. So you have John Cusack playing 1980s Brian Wilson, and you have Paul Dano playing him in the 60s.
Okay.
And in the modern era, or not, well, in the 80s, when it's John Cusack, it's like a love story about some car dealer that he meets and he falls in love with, and she kind of falls in love with him despite all his problems. And then she discovers that maybe he's having more problems than he should be because his manager slash doctor, kind of like the Michael Jackson thing, is like, this dude is way over medicating him and, mismanaging him. This movie did nothing for me.
No.
Absolutely. I mean, I found the 60s stuff with Paul Dano to be the best part of it, especially him making Pet Sounds. Like, just watching him in the studio coming up with all the different sections and arranging them all together to make songs like God Only Knows and Good Vibrations. That stuff was really cool. I think Dano did a great job playing this kind of mad genius who's, suffering from mental illness. I think John Cusack does a decent job too in the 80s story, but oh my God, does the 80s story it just does not work to me. Like the whole love story just felt so out of place, and that's half the movie. I would have much rather it just stuck with him making Pet Sounds. That was much more interesting, like kind of story. And like, I don't know, like it just the 80s stuff felt like kind of cheap and exploitative, and like trying to tell something serious while also just trying to tell like a very like basic love story about like this girl who falls in love with a rich dude. Like I just, man, did it. That, nothing hit for me in the 80s. Some parts in the 60s I thought were good, but I think that the film, it makes a point and then it just makes the same point over and over and over. And that point, in the 60s is this guy's a genius when it comes to music, but he's also tortured by his own genius. And it makes that point once, and it makes that point again and again and again and again and again, and that's the whole movie. And then in the 80s, it's just like this thing where he's a really sweet guy, but he's really screwed up because his manager, played by Paul Giamatti, is he's giving him too many pills and stuff,
Right.
and forcing him to try to make music when he's not mentally prepared. I just look, man, I don't, I've said it before, I don't really dig these fucking musical biopics, whatever. I think that Straight Outta Compton was just so fantastic that it won me over. This is just kind of like, it does kind of do its own spin on it, the way it's skipping between two time periods and it's got two different actors. But man, did those, the two movies that are in here do not fit together very well, in my opinion. And the stuff with Paul Dano in the 60s is so much stronger. But even that, like I said, it's just repeating itself over and over and over. This movie sits at 90% on Rotten Tomatoes, and most
Really?
critics, yeah, I was like reading through all the blurbs before the show here. Most critics were just like, this is a best, like one of the best examples of this type of movie you're gonna see. It's got a really unique spin on it. Everything's great. Like, I can say that the performances from Dano and Cusack are pretty good. I think Dano way outshines Cusack. I think Dano is really good in it. But overall, man, like I'm in the 10% that just did not. I did not. I was just sitting there going, "This is fucking boring." I get what it's trying to do. The only parts that I really liked were watching him make pet sounds. I think your mileage might vary on it, Chris, because you do like these types of movies, and maybe depending on how much you like the Beach Boys. I like the Beach Boys. I think that Brian Wilson is a genius. I think that some of the stuff he does on Pet Sounds is amazing, but it deserved a better movie than this, in my opinion. Like, just didn't do it for me, man.
Yeah, I almost feel like I would prefer that they just focused on that stuff as
Yeah.
opposed to the future stuff.
Because the future stuff is, for the most part, like 80% of it's a pretty lame romance, like that I didn't care about ever.
Right.
And the stuff in the 60s, a lot of it is pretty cliche, standard, like these musical biographies, like where it's like, his dad's kind of, I did not know that the Beach Boys were all brothers, and their dad was kind of like running them and kind of pushing Brian Wilson maybe a little too hard.
Okay,
I
so
don't
they're
know.
basically the Jacksons, but
Yeah, but it's like very, yeah, it's a cliche. We've seen
verse,
something
yeah.
like that. Yeah. I, and it's not that it's poorly made, but it's well made, and people that like these types of movies might like it. But for me, because of the 80s story with John Cusack and him falling in love with this girl, like honestly felt that part was hurt the movie so much that I'm gonna bump it down to a 2 even. Like, I just did not care for this movie at all. So,
Yeah, I don't think I will be making time for that one anytime soon, so.
it depends. Like, I think you'd probably come away saying it's a 3 at least. I don't know, but maybe I wasn't in the right mind frame for it, whatever. I was bored and I wanted it to be over, and I was happy when it was. And that's not, like I said, it's not like it's not terrible, it's not terribly made, it's just I don't like these movies, and for them to grab me, they have to be something pretty fantastic. And this is just parts of it are really good, and but most of it I thought was just pretty dull. So, wah, wah. Sorry, Love and Mercy. It's okay, because everyone else likes you apparently. Like, it's like 90% critics, 86% audience liked it, so
There you go. Well, it's fine.
yeah.
We can't like everything.
Yeah. Hey, I can only be honest. I can't say I like it when I didn't. Like,
Right.
I did not like it. So, and finally, we saw another movie, both of us.
Yeah.
You joined me on this journey into Phantasm.
Yeah, so I had seen the original Phantasm. You had not seen any of them,
Yeah, so
obviously.
this
I
is
had
all
seen the
new.
original Phantasm a few years ago. But then you kind of like took us down this rabbit hole of watching the Phantasm movies.
Yeah.
So I went out and one, these movies are really hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, they have the ship. My, they're all available on Netflix discs. So if you want to see them, you got Netflix, you're good. But like, they had to ship mine from another facility in another part of the country, which is why like I didn't get it till today. So I just watched it.
Yes, like I had to let's say I had to go through some back channels
Okay.
to find a way to watch this. But yeah, I watched Phantasm. Well, I rewatched Phantasm, and I was like, yeah, I'll just jump right in and watch Phantasm 2.
All
That's a
right.
movie.
All right. Which one?
Both. They're both movies. I don't.
It's so weird. Like,
It's so strange.
I can, that's like the thing I like about it, though, is how strange it is. Like, it's just.
Yeah, unashamed of being like completely weird. Like,
Yeah.
but I liked like what I liked about the original Phantasm was that it was kind of this it's kind of a very much a product of everything that was going on in like 70s horror. Like, it was very weird, but it like took everything that was weird about 70s horror and put it all in this one movie. Phantasm 2 is kind of like everything that was goofy about 80s horror.
Yes, it is. It's very much, they're both like, this is a 70s horror, weird horror movie, and this is an 80s fucking cheese fest.
Yes. I mean, I like that about it. It's just so strange.
It is like, I don't even know. I just got done watching it, and I'm like, that was like, almost like an equivalent I can think of is like Evil Dead 2, where they kind of went back and like, let's try to do this again. That's kind of what it feels like, although it is a direct sequel to Phantasm 1.
Yeah.
But it kind of feels like they're doing a lot of the same gags again, but now with a bigger budget, and there's definitely a lot more cool special effects in 2. Like, I liked a lot of the special effects. Like, I don't think in the first one they show the midgets' faces.
No.
And here they show them a bunch. There's like a weird baby monster growing out of a girl's back.
Yeah, there's definitely some like goofy practical effects gore going on.
Yeah, like when the tall man gets it at the end, that's pretty great in the second one. Like, just like ooh, like yellow blood pouring out of every part of his body. Some cool kills in the second one too. Although they do like the sphere thing again, and it's kind of the same as it was in the first one.
Yeah.
It's different. Like, all right, the first one, another thing I like about the first one is it's kind of like this mystery that this kid's uncovering. And in here, in 2, it's just like
There's
80s.
no mystery. Yeah, it's
It's just like him, the two like people that are left at the end of the first one decide to go on the road and get the tall man.
it's a, yeah, it's a hunt movie. Like, they're
It's more
hunting
like
for the
eight.
tall man.
It's like an 80s action horror movie. Like, we gotta go get this guy, like, so yeah, it's I think I kind of fall kind of in the same 3-star area as I did with the first one, where it's just kind of, but it's different. Like, it's a different beast. I appreciate it for different reasons, even though it is a lot of it is just more of like the tall man chasing them around a fucking cemetery. There's some really goofy shit too in the second one. Like, as I'm watching it, I'm sitting there going, wait, why this? Why that? Like,
Like, why is there a 4-barrel shotgun? And why are they having a chainsaw fight?
just incredible leaps of logic too. Like, a lot of points early on, I was like, they're like, all right, we gotta hit the road to find this guy. They're like, okay. So they go into a hardware store in the middle of the night and steal a bunch of shit from the hardware store. I'm like, why couldn't you just go and buy this? Like, why did you guys have to fucking rip this place off for no reason?
Especially since, like, Reggie's family has just been killed. His house is burned down again, mind you. He should have some insurance cash. Like,
He's an adult. He's an ice cream man. He's got some money. Like,
right, you should be able to go to the hardware store and buy some
and buy
stuff.
buy a couple of weapons. No, it's dead. We have to go in there, fucking just rob the place blind, and then modify a bunch of shit because it's not good enough.
Right.
And then they're like, all right, we're going to go find and hit the road. They're like, and I'm sitting there going, how the hell are they finding this guy? And he goes, it's not hard to find the tall man. The signs are pretty easy. And I'm like, okay, what? And like, and then they're just like, small towns are like people. Some of them die by natural causes. And some of them get murdered. And like, that's how they're finding him, is they're going to small towns that look like they got murdered. I was
just
like
driving around the United States going to small towns. Anybody yeah. die here?
Well, like, I don't even know if it's the United States, because there's one part the tall man tells them to go east, and they're like, right. they're like, there's like, there was only one town left east, and that's on the like, state line. Like, maybe he went into another state. You ever think of that? Maybe he's not like confined to California or wherever the hell you guys are. And then like, I mean, if you like are sitting there paying attention, there's like so many things like that. Like when they find that the girl that was showing up in the one kid's dreams. And there's like this crazy thing coming out of her back. They just light her on fire. Right. And they're like, that was an apparition. I'm like, how do you know it was an apparition? What if it was the girl? I thought it was the girl, and you just murdered her. It's
like a killer. She's a freak. Then they pick up this hitchhiker.
Oh yeah, just because Reggie wants to bang her.
Yeah, it's like she's like
a box, though. I have to say,
we'll go back to. I'm going back. Home, and my uncle just happens to own a bed and breakfast. Oh no, where did my whole family go?
Like, where did the whole town go? What's going on?
Except for the person across the street who sees that you guys are there. So they
one person left. Yes. Like, seriously, if your whole town is dead, you're sitting in your house just going, hopefully everything blows over.
Like, and then somebody shows up. Oh fuck, pull the blinds down. Let's not go see. they might help.
Yeah, and they won't know that we're here because we pulled the blinds down. There's so much shit like that in this movie where you're just like, okay, I guess I'll just accept all this. But it's those are the things that kind of made it fun for me to watch. I was just like, what the fuck? Yeah, and then the chainsaw fight. Dude, he has like this mini chainsaw that they pulled from the hardware store. And then there's this like one of the like tall guy's minions.
6 foot like logging chainsaw.
He pulls it out of a tiny shelf in like a shed. So like you see his hand reach into the shelf and he just pulls out like this 6 foot chainsaw. Like what the fuck? I think all that stuff kind of made it fun though.
It was so absurd that it was funny.
Yeah, and then... Like I said, I like some of the effects. I thought it was cool, too, when they do go through that portal again to the other, like, world or whatever. Yeah. And I thought, like, there was, like one of the baby midget, evil midget things are being born. It's, like, crawling towards them. It looked really cool. Like, I don't know. There's a lot of things that looked pretty cool in it. Like, so, yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, there's a lot of just ridiculous shit.
It's so weird. It's, like, such a weird movie, and it... Like, what's weirder is that they had, like, so the guy who played Reggie in the first one, he's back as Reggie, and the tall man is Angus Scrim again. But the guy they played Mike, not the original actor. Now, that's not strange, but in Phantasm 3, it's back to the original actor.
Yeah, like, I think the guy in 2 is the only time that, what's his name, Michael or whatever, is not played by the kid from the first one. Which is weird. Like, I don't know why he went with that. Because everyone else, like you said, is cast the same. And then he goes back to using the original actor for 3 and 4. So,
right.
That's kind of weird, but are you in... First off, let me get your scores for Phantasm 1 and 2.
Phantasm 1, I think I'm at a 3 for that. Like, it's fun. It's weird 70s horror. I think it's still kind of... It's like a history lesson in 70s horror. It works really well. Yeah. And I'm at the same score for Phantasm 2. Like, I have to go with a 3. Like, it's so weird and goofy. And it kind of just encapsulates all of the weird and goofiness of the 80s horror.
They're both kind of capture the essence of their decades.
Like, I'm really interested in what Phantasm 3 is.
Well, that's all right. So I'm with you on the scores. I'm going 3 for both. I'm gonna for next week's episode see 3. Now, are you gonna continue to pursue the series. Are you gonna follow it through with three and four?
I think so. I think I'm in at this point. Might as
Yeah,
well.
right. You made it this far.
And yeah, like I'm really interested in what the hell Phantasm 3 is, 'cause it's so strange. Like I don't get it.
Well, like I said, like the trailer I saw for three looks like it just ups the 80s cheese factor even more, where there's like a girl with nunchucks like fighting the spheres. So like that sounds cool. I'm a little worried about four because I think four was like mid-90s or something around there.
So three looks like it was 1994 and four was 1998. So it,
Oh, so they're both 90s. I didn't
yeah.
realize that. I don't know whether those were I know that one and two were theatrical releases and they were pretty successful. I don't know if I had to guess, I'd say that the three and four are straight to video, maybe.
Probably.
At least the fourth one, I would imagine. Like, I don't know. I don't remember them being in theaters in the 90s, and I was pretty aware of films
Yeah, I
at that
was
point.
at that point I was pretty much into watching film, so especially like weird horror stuff. Like that would
And
have
I
been something I
just,
picked up on.
yeah, I don't remember it being like out there in the theaters or people talking about it. So I don't know, but I like you said, we've gone this far, so might as well see where this goes, man. And then might as well because there is a new one coming out. So
Yeah, and evidently, like that's going to really tie it all up.
it's
So,
all gonna make sense after part five.
like,
We're gonna find out.
looks like I'm still perplexed by the ending to the first one, 'cause like Reggie
And
dies.
they use the ending of the first one here too. They like instead of ignoring it, which is what any normal horror sequel would
Or
do, it'd be like,
they
yeah, whatever, it didn't happen.
pick up right there,
They
like.
show it again, and you're like, it was a shitty ending to the first one, and then they use it like here, where like they could have easily just ignored it and like, oh, he's older now, and blah blah blah, like. But no, they like double down on that, and
I do kind of like that they did that though, because
yeah.
it makes it completely insane. It's like, because for some reason Reggie doesn't remember anything that happened. Like he, despite him saving Mike from the tall man and the Jawas, like he doesn't remember anything, and they lock Mike up in a mental home for 10 years, and then like Mike starts having these visions of that other girl, and he's like, I gotta get out of here. So he's like lying to the parole officer. Like he's in a criminally insane like penitentiary or like something like that, where they're not gonna let him out because he blew, like the official story is he blew up Reggie's house because there were little people chasing him. Like, and then two kind of ends with another weird,
And
like,
do the same thing again, but then he goes, "It wasn't a dream."
right?
Ah!
What is going on? So I like kind of want to see this three pick up like right at the end of like,
I do kind of love how the tall man always is just like, "Boy,
yeah, that's a
you
great
play a good
voice.
game, boy." I was like, "What the fuck?"
I mean, for not really knowing what Phantasm is, like he has a great voice and is a menacing character. Like
Yeah.
maybe not to the same level as like Freddy and Jason, and but he kind of fits in.
Yeah.
He's like their old grandpa. Like, yeah, we gotta finish this series out.
Yeah, and for other people, I'd say if you're a horror fan, yeah, it's kind of like required viewing, and it is kind of just so bizarre and fucking crazy that it's fun. So hopefully it continues to be like, I'm hoping by like the third or fourth one I'm not like, oh, I'm kind of tired of this, but we'll see.
Yep.
So I do have that for next week. I will have seen another movie called 99 Homes, starring Michael Shannon and Andrew Garfield, I want to say.
Okay.
And I hope to go see 10 Cloverfield Lane in theaters.
Yes, me as well on that one, so
Yeah, I just
it's getting excellent reviews.
Yeah, it's getting pretty good reviews. The only thing is, I still gotta get to the DMV and renew my license. I'm driving around on ex I'm like w working and driving around on expired license. So I'm hoping that on my day off on Tuesday, I could knock both of those out, and the DMV does not become an all day thing where I'm leaving it like at night, like in Zootopia.
Right.
So,
Just don't tell any jokes.
or you know what? I could probably make it to Cloverfield on Sunday now that I think about it. So. Yeah, I'll get her done. I'm very interested to see what Cloverfield is. I have not read any reviews on it. I've just seen stuff on Twitter like, oh, it's a good, you know, it's a good
Yeah.
movie. So.
I haven't read the reviews either, but it's holding a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes out of that's 83 reviews are in.
Okay.
So that's really good.
It looked good to me, so I'm interested to see what it's really all about. I do, from what I've heard, I don't know how much of a connection it has to the original, but that's fine.
So we'll be checking that out. And yeah, I might try and see something else in between there, but
Yeah, I don't know. There's a possibility. There's like a whole bunch of Oscar movies that just are kind of they're hitting DVD on Netflix both this week and next. But I didn't get the ones I wanted this week. Instead, I got Love and Mercy and 99 Homes. So there's like a whole bunch of them, like the hell, like Spotlight and all this stuff that's coming out. I mean, one second, hang on. Like, so there's a good chance I could see Spotlight, The Big Short, Black Mass, or Crimson Peak as well by next week.
okay, yeah,
It's
maybe I'll try
one
and
of those.
see Crimson Peak too.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll be back next week, I guess.
Movie dudes.
Movie dudes. Do 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 do.